Liebe Palästina und großer Zionisten, lieben, lieben, liebe Palästina, lieben, lieben, liebe Palästina, liebe Palästina und großer Zionisten, liebe Palästina und großer Zionisten.
Wir haben unser Juden,
und wir haben fördert Frieden,
und wir haben fördert Frieden.
Wir haben plockert Zitronerna,
und wir haben plockert Zitronerna.
Oppressat du Liederna,
oppressat du Liederna.
Och hela världen känner till vår jord,
och hela världen känner till vår jord.
Liebe, liebe, liebe Palästina, liebe. Liebe Palästina, und großer Zionisten.
Und wir haben kastat Stenar på.
Und wir haben kastat Stenar på.
Soldater und Polisen.
Soldater und Polisen.
Und wir haben skjutit Raketen.
Und wir haben skjutit Raketen.
Mot våra fiender.
Mot våra fiender.
Why are you here, Janet, right?
I'm
from 3CR.
Right, yep.
Yeah. So tell me, you're going to speak today?
I am, yeah. To standing up for Palestinians, because and for justice and for peace, and for, you know, human rights that matter for everyone. You know, yeah. They should be universal, and yet we just see the genocide that's going on in Gaza at the moment, and the world standing by and watching it. You know, at least Labor have finally come round to supporting the international calls for a ceasefire, but it's not enough, and they need to do much more before they can be applauded for that. So, you know, I'm here tonight to support every action that we could be possibly taking. I think it's fantastic that the unionists are taking this action, fantastic that students are taking action at, you know, university graduations, fantastic that people are continuing to email their members of parliament, and, you know, we've just got to keep the pressure up.
It's interesting that the shipping line SIM still seems to be floating around the world doing its business as usual.
Exactly. And it's exactly the sort of thing that when you see things happening at the State of Israel and their absolute committing of war crimes and the humanitarian catastrophe and the 20,000 or so people that have been killed in Gaza, 70% of whom are women, children and the elderly, you would think that the Western world could actually say there's something going on here and we've got to call it out. But they're happy largely to just be silent and complicit. And so it's up to us as the community to keep speaking up, because our governments are not reflecting what people want to see, which is justice, which is peace, which, you know, for Palestinians and for Israelis. And every day that this war goes on is a day that we are further away from peace.
The use of war as a method of creating business seems to be something that's in the DNA of corporate business.
It's appalling, and it's just, you know, you see the defence industries and you see the billions and billions of dollars that are put into creating death and destruction. It's immoral, and it is, I mean, there are some very wealthy, very powerful forces that are behind it, and we've got to call it out. And I think, you know, in some ways, what's been going on in Gaza over the last 2 months has awakened a lot of people as to how much our government is complicit and how much, so much of just what goes on under the surface is erupting up, and we just realise, you know, what the reality is and what the, you know, industrial military complex and the power of US imperialism really is in the world, and how it is just so unjust and so racist.
Well, the thing about what's going on in Africa right at this moment, at the same time in Yemen, these same sort of death struggles, they all seem to be about resources.
Exactly.
They want the land, they don't want the people.
Exactly. And if you look at, you know, Israel's, you know, claim on Palestine, which, you know, is, it's all cloaked in, you know, Jewish Zionism, but fundamentally it's about resources, it's about land, it's about water. And they want to rid the land of, you know, pesky Palestinians who don't agree with them, and they want to have control.
Well, do you think that actually what's at stake? I know what's at stake for the Palestinians is big, but it's actually what's at stake for the entire world. It's about law and order.
Yes, exactly. And it's actually saying that we really do genuinely believe in the, you know, so-called international rules-based order, and what us being silent and complicit and what the US supporting Israel and even in the depths of the war, you know, approving billions of dollars of weapon sales to Israel, is basically saying we don't have universal human rights. The international rules-based order does not exist. It only exists for people that we agree with. And if that's the reality, well, then that's disastrous for, you know, what we've been trying to create, you know, post-World War II. At least some of us think we've been trying to create it, but clearly there are some really powerful forces that don't support that and don't believe in it.
The use of weaponizing of refugees is an interesting factor, isn't it? Because actually creating these wars is creating refugees, and then local populations, especially in Europe at the moment and in America, are being seeing themselves as being inundated by forces that they can't control. In fact, they can control them.
Absolutely.
If they have no wars.
Absolutely. If we actually had fairness and justice and people being able to have self-determination and in their own countries and, you know, and efforts to remove despotic dictators, and well then, yes, we wouldn't have the issues of people needing to flee their countries and then being seen as a problem in other countries around the world.
Very nice to meet you. This is Ihab. So Ihab is
nice to meet you, Annie.
The founder of the City of Ada that sits at the steps.
Okay, yeah. Do you want to tell me about why you've done this?
The City of Ada? Yeah, when I arrived in Australia after trip overseas, it was the war already started 10 days ago, and it was very difficult to comprehend the amount of killing and the world around it tried to fight a very small number of people, very brave people. And I could not understand at all how we could just manage our life normal, like pretend nothing happening. It was my decision, I have to do something to respect myself, first of all. I said I have to stop the day-to-day life, I have to find something to be able to support the people in Palestine, people of Gaza, and I respect myself for this action. I decided to choose the parliament as a parliament. It's the place of politics in the state, and I have to put my stand down there to tell the whole people who work in the parliaments, the parliamentarians, we're not happy with their actions, plus engage with the public coming in the streets, and bare minimum, if I don't pass my message, at least I maintain my sanity into it. And this has grown up beyond what I thought, because the general public is so good for people, and it's nearly everywhere worldwide now, knowing about us, supporting us, working with us. We do a lot of activities around the cities. We do a lot of support around the cities. And the last action we done for Zara, it was more than 20 million supporters worldwide and more for it. I think it's worthwhile to respect ourselves and maintain what we're doing, and collect everybody around us to be one arm, one hand, side by side together to stop this oppression happening worldwide.
It's interesting, the thing with Zara. They think that they're immune to their actions by business.
Every business thinks they're immune, but we need to understand one little thing. Every business made from the dollar come out of my pocket and your pocket. If we understand this method, there's no business immune whatsoever. We can stop any business, and we can direct any business if we boycott the business, if we decide to respect ourselves. We can live without a lot of extra values we don't need. It's very simple. Respect yourself, find out where is your dollar going to go. If going in a humane way, continue. If not, it doesn't have to be Zara, it doesn't have to be Gaza. It can be a factory somewhere in Bangladesh being abused. You don't have to do it. You're not going to live without it, definitely. But out of respect, there's no business anywhere in the world. We after them one by one. The next one will be Mercedes. We're not going to stop.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Nice to talk to you.
I don't know if you want to speak to me, but I was quite interested in those first rallies. The way the police were, not that they were aggressive, but that the critical response team, there was like four or five vehicles, as if, you know, they were expecting violence or something like that. It was quite provocative, I thought.
Yeah, police will often use what they call the theatre of policing, to a show of force, and have their resources in display to intimidate people, basically, and to let people know that they can respond. So it's part of their tactics to do that. Sometimes, conversely, they keep their resources behind the scenes if they don't want to escalate things. So we've seen both approaches over the years.
I was just wondering if the Palestinian rallies were behaving differently.
With the Palestinian rallies, there's very much a coordinated Victoria Police response. It's been coordinated through an Operation Park. It's a command-driven project where they have detectives and prosecutors and senior police strategizing around how they will respond to the pro-Palestinian protest movement. And so that involves a whole range of different policing areas, and including, you know, criminal investigation unit and so forth, and the laying of charges and the deployment of all their resources. So it's obviously a very big, growing and diverse, you know, protest movement, what we've seen over the last 9 or 10 weeks. And so police are, you know, at one level, police are coordinating their response across that diversity, but we're also seeing that sort of strategic thinking of how they can use charges and use certain legal mechanisms to control the protests, and that's what we're mainly worried about.
They were picking on people, sticking stickers on things and stuff.
Yeah, well, that was in response to the week before where various establishments got targeted by protesters, so they felt compelled to target it the next week. So yeah, that's not out of the ordinary. It's more the strategic incapacitation tactics that we're most worried about, where police use a variety of charges and methods to undermine the ability of a movement to organise or to protest. And so that's what we're mainly looking for and worried about. And that contravenes and undermines our charter rights in Victoria and the international covenant of civil and political rights and other rights to protest. So, yeah, that's our main concern, is whether there's strategically disruption or incapacitation. And we haven't seen too much of that so far, but we're certainly monitoring it really closely.
Thanks.